The Skagway Borough Assembly approves sending the Tidelands lease with White Pass to voters. And after the recent water contamination scare in Haines, some in the business community want better protocols. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. After more than an hour of discussion Monday night, the Skagway Borough Assembly adopted an ordinance outlining conditions of a new Tidelands lease between the municipality and White Pass Yukon Route Railroad. For the agreement to go into effect, it needs to be approved by Skagway voters. The new lease would void the current one and last 35 years. It dictates the amount of port property White Pass would control, how much the company would pay to the municipality, construction of a new floating dock, and payment for remediation of ore basin contamination, among other details. The lease has taken years to negotiate. The full document was released to the public in early June. At Monday's meeting, the Assembly voted 4-2 to authorize the lease. Gary Hansen and Spencer Morgan voted no. Now it's up to voters to decide the fate of the multi-million dollar lease. The special election will take place August 25th. Two town hall-style meetings to discuss the lease will take place before the election. The first meeting is tentatively scheduled for July 17th. We'll have a more detailed story about Monday's Borough Assembly meeting in tomorrow's evening news. When a routine test indicated there might be dangerous bacteria in Haines drinking water last month, Alaska's Environmental Health Department ordered residents and businesses to boil all municipal tap water before consumption. The E. coli scare faded 2 days later when another water test came back clear. But the boil order had already taken a toll on local businesses, including eateries. The Haines Chamber of Commerce plans to ask the borough to draw up procedures to mitigate that impact if a water scare were to happen again. KHNS's Greta Mart has more.
Adam Richard is owner and chef at Fireweed Restaurant. He says the boil order made it impractical to stay open. They closed for two lunches and one dinner service.
It was a good chunk of money, you know. It was in the thousands of dollars, and especially if you include all the employees' wages that were lost and their tips and things that they make. It was definitely a financial hit for everybody in the restaurant.
Sarah Jaymont, owner of Sarah J's Cafe, says she also closed early after learning of the notice.
The next day, I rallied and came and boiled I don't even know how many gallons of water to run our business. I shut the business on Friday because I didn't have it in me to boil water like that again. And that was a surprise cruise ship day. So I lost a fair amount of revenue on Friday not being open with a huge boat in town.
With income and public health at stake, some eatery owners are concerned with the way they were notified of the boil order. The Haines Chamber of Commerce plans to ask the borough to establish new guidelines for handling future water contamination scares, particularly when it comes to alerting restaurants. Chamber Board President Kyle Gray wants the borough to set up effective communication and protocols to help businesses stay open or possibly deal with financial losses during boil orders.
The borough is, you know, they're held to certain regulations, so they have to do what they had to do, which was, you know, give the boil water notice, which is what they should have done. And, you know, it's our job to kind of look out for the business community. So it's, I guess we're going to want to know if there's anything they can do to mitigate that in the future if something like that should ever happen again, specifically for the businesses.
According to state laws, the owner of the water system is responsible for alerting consumers that a boil notice has been issued by the state. In Haines' case, that's the borough. Borough manager Dave Sosa.
Well, the day we found out, we had members of our water sewer crew were out providing leaflets to residences and businesses. And the mayor and I went out together, and we went out to every business that's in the food service industry, every business that is heavily reliant on water, to talk with them, provide them the information that we had so that they'd have a good understanding of what was going on.
But Richard and Jaymont say they found out in a different way.
We got a call from another restaurant that let us know. And then we just checked the borough website. And that next day we made some phone calls to the borough. We hadn't been notified directly by them.
Jaymont says she first learned of the boil notice from a customer and didn't get official word from city workers until about 7 p.m. on June 24th, the day the boil notice went into effect.
Knowing that other establishments in town had been notified before 5 p.m. really upset me. So I think that maybe some sort of standard operating procedure that says, okay, all food establishments, all restaurants that are serving the public water and using the water, there's got to be some sort of chain of action that they are the priorities, you know, and knowing that offices and grocery stores, not that grocery stores aren't also important, but they're not handing over fist smoothies and cups of water and stuff that people are consuming. Like, what if it was for real?
Although communication could have been better, Richard and Jaymont say they're grateful to have access to clean water in the first place in a remote town like Haines.
I know people work really hard to provide those service for us, so I try not to take it for granted that we have those things and just get angry because we didn't have water for a day.
I don't know. I think it hit home for me how much our community, this is such a valued resource, and it would be great if we had a better measure to be checking and testing our own stuff so that maybe a false positive doesn't happen in the future.
The boil notice was rescinded 2 days after it was issued when another test of the water came back normal. Borough employees say they are trying to determine the cause of the positive test. Interim Public Facilities Director Brian Lemke says it's possible it was a false positive or human error, but they don't know for certain. Reporting in Haines, I'm Greta Mart.
The Alaska Marine Highway System has canceled this summer's sailings between Petersburg and northern Prince of Wales Island, but they'll restart next year. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The state ferry system announced the new route last year. It was supposed to connect terminals at South Mitkoff Island, about 25 road miles from Petersburg, and Kaufman Cove on northeast Prince of Wales. Marine Highway spokesman Jeremy Woodrow says the route was a funding decision, not based on passenger need.
We used federal funds to construct both the Kaufman Cove terminal and the South Mitkoff terminal, and there could be a potential to have to pay back those federal funds if we actually don't use those terminals for ferry service.
The ferry docks were built last decade for routes that no longer exist. Together, they cost about $15 million. Woodrow says the small ferry Leconte was scheduled for this summer's monthly sailings, but it was docked for repairs during May and June.
Now the Malaspina is actually being late coming out of the yard, and the Malaspina is not expected to be delivered until the end of July, and because of that, the Leconte now is picking up service where the Malaspina normally would sail.
Few people made reservations for the August and September sailings, so they were canceled too. Woodrow says the ferry system will try again next summer, but with a different approach. It will hire the Inter-Island Ferry Authority, which has a backup ship, to sail the route. The IFA, which is separate from the state system, used to run a ferry between Kaufman Cove, Wrangell, and South Mitkoff Island.
We've worked with the Federal Highway System, and they say that would meet the needs to show that we are trying to use those terminals.
The IFA sails a ship between Hollis on eastern Prince of Wales Island and Ketchikan year-round. Woodrow says the state will pay about $200,000 for the Kaufman-Mitkoff service. The money is left over from a road and bridge project on the Kenai Peninsula. IFA's general manager could not be reached immediately for comment. The ferry system posted August and September's cancellations on its schedule changes webpage. Woodrow says it did not announce the earlier dropped sailings.
We usually make large announcements when there's a lot of passengers and travelers affected. And when there's only maybe one or two reservations, we just call those passengers and let them know what the change of the schedule is.
A different ship, which is not part of the state ferry system or the IFA, is scheduled to begin sailing much the same route by the middle of this month. The Rainforest Islander will link Kaufman Cove, Wrangell, and South Mitkoff Island 4 days a week. But it's a much smaller ship, a landing craft, and will not use the federally funded terminals. I'm Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.